33. And this is NEL game day. Sirens blare through the tunnel walls. Hats tied were built for brawls. Trap talk fades as the hits to speak. This ain't drills, this is game day.
What's going on, everybody? This is Lick. I'm here with Hubbard and Pat for a College Game Day Saturday night edition live. Here we got some big games of the week. Missouri State facing off against Middle Tennessee. And then we have Tennessee and Alabama. Big weekend in football in the state of Tennessee. We got real football kicking off this weekend. I know it kicked off last weekend, but we would all say that today was the real day for college football. How are you doing tonight, Hubbard?
Doing well, considering what happened to my Longhorns earlier. I'm not gonna hate on them. I didn't expect to win the game, guys, but we can talk about Sark and Arch another time. But, man, I'm doing well. Excited about another week of NDL play, but also just real football being back, man. And it's with Corso and all going on this week, it's been a great day.
Yeah, today was really good. Like the morning game day show, I usually don't watch all 3 hours of it. I'm not going to lie, but today I did. It definitely pulled at the heartstrings there a little bit at the end, just because it's all I've ever known growing up in a very all forward household. A lot of people don't like low scoring games. I'm a former defensive coordinator. And so I actually don't mind the low scoring games. So I thought the Ohio State Texas game, it got a little sloppy at times, but I definitely enjoyed the hell out of the fourth quarter. It was a good game. And I was a little surprised. How bad Arch looked, I'm not going to lie. I obviously a lot of hype, but the throwing mechanics didn't look right. It didn't look good. So, but we can go more into detail about that as we go along.
And it was a good day. Obviously this morning, me and Hubbard talked a little bit about it earlier. This morning was a blast for College Game Day, being able to watch Game Day last Lee Corso. I thought they did a great job of sharing his stories and talking about just some of the impacts and stuff. Hubbard brought it up earlier, just talking about the impact that Lee Corso had on the game, attempting to bring the first black player to that ACC and just things like that you didn't know and I thought that was really cool, and just how innovative he was on the coaching side of football and just some of the impact he had on some of the other members. And then obviously they did a little segue into the second. There's only two people that have been to all the game day shows and kind of pioneered game day and been on the game day the most. And obviously that guy, I forget his name, but he was a producer, but he had just recently passed away. I thought they did a pretty good job of that, but I had a lot of fun. I mean, it's good to have college football back. We got a big game going on right now, Florida State. That's why Chris, Mr. Penguin, isn't with us right now. Giant Florida State fan. Cheering on his Seminoles against Alabama. If you don't know, they're winning 31-17 right now with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Hopefully I'm not giving anyone a spoiler and they don't have that saved or paused right now to watch game day. And so is there any games that you guys are looking forward to in real football tonight that are on still? We're not going to talk about the Clemson LSU because we know everybody wants to watch that game.
I want to watch my Trojans. It's interesting. It was obviously the subject on game day a lot today. They lost 16 players, I think, to the portal. And some of it may be addition by subtraction. I think some of those players weren't all bought in when they were a part of the team. And Lincoln really has good recruiting classes coming in. So I'm actually excited to see how the team plays with guys that want to be in Los Angeles. I'm stoked. And yeah, they're playing a shit team, you know, but I just hope that they look like really well coached out there today. Looking forward to it.
I'm a little bit of a weirdo. Looking forward to Utah UCLA tonight. I'm a Cal fan, right? Like, I think that especially, you know, talking about defense, he always finds a way to get it done. Old school, I think they were talking about this morning in the Texas game. It should be like a WAC Pac-12 game, but instead it's Big 12, Big 10, but we'll go with it. Should be a fun one. And really tomorrow, I mentioned this last week too, but on Monday rather, the TCU-North Carolina game is very interesting to me to see what Belichick looks like and how that's going to go. I listened to a lot of people this week that really think they're going to be really good, which is they're kind of flying under the radar right now, but they got Belichick, and if they got some talent, maybe they can make a little run in the ACC.
They have a super favorable ACC schedule. They don't play Louisville. They don't play Miami. They don't play Florida State, and they don't play someone else in there that's pretty good. All they do play Clemson, but at home.
But without divisions, you can lose one and still get in that championship game, though, now. I mean, that's the good news.
Yeah.
Hey, it's so many. When you talk about North Carolina, though, man, they're bringing in so many new players. And for a coach that, at least in the NFL, really hung his hat on cohesiveness, culture. I mean, look at his defenses that won championships. A lot of those guys weren't like MVP top five caliber defensive players in the league, but they all played at that elite level together as a group. Man, can you get a bunch of young college students all on that page in that quick of a time? Like, a summer isn't a lot of time. And so you go up against some of these college teams where definitely in the ACC, you have some of those teams have played with the same offense, you know, have several returning players. Obviously Clemson's like an outlier. They're going to be really good, but I just think it's going to be interesting to see how quick he can turn around that whole culture in North Carolina. And even if it works, right, because they got to buy into it.
Man, isn't it like 70 new players? Games, I think Bill Belichick can win 9 games.
But that's like 70 players, right? Isn't that how many new players are on their roster this year? 70?
I mean, think about this, though. Look at Florida State. They got new guys, and it's going pretty well for them today. The other thing is, too, I think part of what makes Belichick great is, yeah, he was always consistent, but, man, great minds can just figure it out. You know, like, he's probably got a good staff around him, too. I don't even know who all is on his staff, honestly. But I'm guessing he surrounded himself with people who are going to be able to help figure that out. I don't know. It's that's why I'm interested to watch it. Like, what does it look like? Is it going to be Patriots Belichick-ish, or is it going to be this new Belichick that's, you know, got this 20-something-year-old girlfriend or whatever?
Well, I know for sure his son's coaching with him. If I'm not mistaken, I think his son's coaching with him. Steve, I think, is his name. Steve Belichick.
Man, I don't. A good point. Indiana last year brought in a bunch of guys too and made a little run.
Yep.
And then I think like his offensive coordinator, isn't it Kitchens or whatever? Isn't it? I'm pretty sure it's like Kitchens. Yeah, I think he's their offensive coordinator, and then Steve's going to run the defense, I think. It'll be interesting. Like you said, pretty excited. I'm excited to see the Notre Dame Miami game, see how that goes. We got some chatters in the chat. So I was just kind of reading some of their chat. They're talking about CG's mentioning that this Bama loss has to be a pretty big loss if they end up losing this game against Florida State.
I'm absolutely shocked how Bama's looked the last, oh my gosh, catch the ball. The last 12 games, they were, Washington was so well coached, like, for under DeBoer, and Bama does not look well coached at all. Like, they're penalized a lot. They tackle terribly, and they, earlier in the game, when you have a 2-touchdown deficit and you need timeouts, you can't be blowing timeouts on 3rd and 20, like, on the road. So they just, it's shocking to me.
And I don't think that the quarterback play has been horrible either today. I've watched this game. I don't think that, like, you couldn't use that as an excuse that they're young. I'm with you, is that it's a lot of like mental mistakes you wouldn't think that a veteran coach would allow his team to make that in a second year.
And now Ryan Williams is going to be out for the game here. He just got KO'd.
Alabama's had that issue a couple times in the last few years, right? We're early in the season. They have some stinkers, right? Think back to the South Florida game. not, you know, I guess a couple of years ago, where they almost lose a game without Milroe. And I think it was Simpson that was in that game as the starter too. So I don't know. It's interesting to see what Alabama is now. And without Saban, can they still recruit long term the way that he did and keep them where they were? I don't know. It's NIL has changed things so much. You never know.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out. So let's get over to some NDL talk for just a little bit. We'll keep you updated on the Alabama game. I'm sure everybody is watching both and listening to us, but let's get out to the polls. The coaches' polls came out in the NDL, and there's already been some chatter in the Discord. So, Hubbard, if you have that Discord up or you have whoever saying anything, you can go ahead and mention it because I don't have it up right now. But I'll show you on the screen here. These are the two coaches' polls that came out. Do you guys see anything in here where you're just like kind of dumbfounded with how it was voted? Or would, I mean, is there anything crazy that you would change?
Yeah, I don't know why Middle Tennessee State. I mean, if we're going to rank all these low teams, like I think he would crack Coastal and Akron. So I don't understand why he is the one that's left off if we're going to start on that talking point. And then I know it was in the live chat, but Illinois being completely out of the poll doesn't make sense to me. I voted him personally 23rd, I believe. I have my poll open here. And then OU is too high. They need to be lower. He's better than I should not be six spots ahead of OU. That guy would whip my ass, I think.
Well, I think he has like one game played right now, though. He's like 1-0, I think.
Yeah. I've seen him play. I've seen him play some cup games, I think. I don't know. I would just have him ranked higher personally.
You know, I don't know why he's actually 2-0. The site still shows him 1, I don't understand. But, you know, the talk this morning was obviously this group of five team being ranked. Is the bottom four teams are all group of, well, yeah, they're all group of five. Boise, Missouri State, Coastal, Akron. I also would agree, if we're going to talk about who the best lower level teams are and do they belong or do they not belong, you know, Middle Tennessee is the one that's got to be in there, right? And I look at some of these, Akron actually lost their first game today to Chip. And so he's obviously going to be gone now. But Boise, you know, losing to Air Force, I don't know that that's a terrible loss, but if you look at
it's a terrible loss.
Okay. You can say it. You can get away with it. You're the McAfee of the group, right? So, you know, my deal is just I get why people are voting the group of five teams in. Like, I understand that. I honestly had Missouri State in at the bottom of my poll and none of the others. But Coastal is – I mean, listen, I played Coastal, and he just smacked me around. But he also just lost his best running back with the game update. He hasn't really played anybody. I mean, I'm including myself in that bunch. I'm with you. Middle Tennessee should probably be in there. But I can't get over. And the argument was, right, should it be most deserving versus best team? Because then if you're the best team, obviously the group of fives probably don't get in there. But you have to consider all of it together. Illinois has a great roster, and they have a good coach, right? And so why would you not put them in? But if he lined up and played against a lot of these mid-majors, he would win the games. I mean, that's what I look at. I know, Pat, we were talking about this before. Like, if it's close, I look at who would win if they played. And I feel like he deserves to be in there. But the group of five argument, it's – I don't know. But Middle Tennessee is the one that should be in there. Them and Missouri State, one of them is going to be in there and stay after this next game because I don't think they play anybody else the rest of the year. But I don't know. It's very interesting where we're at.
Well, Vandy will end up being out because Vandy just lost to North Carolina. I just saw that score went live today in the scoreboard, and obviously we're upset by North Carolina, which is big for me because I played them, and obviously that helps my strength of schedule. So I was cheering for North Carolina to win a couple games here. I'm with you. A lot of this stuff. What's that?
Good for them. We were talking about NC State a minute ago. Good for them to be there where they're at. I mean, they've had a great little run here so far. To start the year also.
Yep. Yeah. And it's really cool to see him crack the top 10. He would be able to tell you the last time that they were in the top 10. If, I mean, I don't know. I can't remember last time Holney was in the top 10, if ever. He would be able to tell us that. But they have some really big wins. And obviously, coming down the stretch here, Pat was in the ACC last year, so he could probably attest to how you see three teams in the top 10 right now in the ACC obviously really competitive, and you got Miami floating down there at the bottom right now in the ACC, which is a big flip from a couple years ago where the talk was, should the ACC even be in the college football playoff? Obviously, lots of football left, and we got some really big games coming up this week in those conferences to where it'll kind of start separating themselves, or it'll make it even worse, and it'll be even more, bunched up there at the top of the conferences there. I think someone had mentioned in the chat, that was the first comment I saw with the polls. I think it was the media poll, because the media poll has Tennessee outside the top 10. And I think it was Vegas in there stating that the media guy members need to have a reality check. Do you think Tennessee belongs in the top 10? Or do you think the media got it right by putting him at, I think, 12 is where they had him?
I ranked Tennessee. Well, you know what? I ranked him before he lost to Notre Dame. I do my polls early. So I ranked him fifth because he was still undefeated. So I would say he's right there in the top 10. I would have him like ahead of lineup as well as this. I would have him ahead of Duke for sure. I would have him ahead of NC State. And that's really about it. Oh, I'd have him ahead of me as well. But yeah, that's about it. Other than that, I think he's in a right spot. So that would put him right around 10th, I think.
Yeah, I think he's a top 10 team. I mean, looking here at who the media team has in front of him, I'm with you. I think that, I don't know. It's tough. I mean, because you almost have to put him behind Notre Dame right here, right? I mean, he just lost to him. Probably not a top five team. So you're looking at Utah, NC State, Duke, Clemson, or is he better than any of those? I think he's right in the conversation. He should be right in that top 10, if not just outside of it.
So here's a question for you, Hubbard. Who's your top four teams in the NDL right now?
Oh, man. Yeah, I my last poll has them. I think it's I have Texas number one right now, and it's I think it's neck and neck with LSU, and I think it comes down to Texas has played the games, and LSU really hasn't. We want to see. He had that close game with Illinois, right? And Illinois is unranked now. So is it – I mean, he's a good player, right? He's won the thing. I have Alabama and Oregon as the next two. I like Texas, LSU, Alabama, and Oregon. And I think most people have that top four. Maybe Ohio State's in there for some people. But if you're asking me to pick the final four right now, that's who it is.
Yeah. For me, it's Texas, LSU, Bama, Ohio State. I think those four, with the weak link being Bama, of those four, I think the Ohio State, LSU, Texas, that's who I would assume will be three of the last four guys standing.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting because I'll ask you the same question in a couple weeks and we'll see if they'll stay the same. Do you, I know it was mentioned in the live chat this weekend. We've already kind of talked about real college football already. That was kind of the next topic. But do you think any of these matchups this weekend in week one in real college football will have an impact in the NDL in some type of way, whether it's player ratings, anything like that, in their first update?
From what we saw here today, you would hope they would, but I don't. Do they really? So, like last year, when I had player ratings updated, no one got worse on any of my teams. People only got better or stayed the same. So, if you're going off a one game sample size, obviously, I mean, let's be honest, Hurts was not good today. And this Ryan Williams guy here for Bama today has been awful. He has multiple drop passes, and he's like one of the highest rated receivers in the game. But do they downgrade guys? I don't know. Do they, Tim? I all I know is them upgrade people.
Yeah, no, I know last year, I know for sure a couple years ago they did because I had Wyoming and I had a running back and he was like a 94 overall. And when they did the first update, they actually moved him off the depth chart and he went down to like an 88. I don't know what ratings in there they affected or changed because I didn't pay attention. But I know they take guys off depth charts throughout the season, but a lot of times that'll affect the team overall. We've talked about that in the past. It'll look like the team's gotten worse, but you just put the guy back in the game, and obviously your team is better. But I definitely know guys have gotten better. You know, they've added speed, they've added things like that to players. And so it'll just be really interesting if this is one of those cases where like the rich get richer, you know, and you'll have a team member last year, like Arizona State, they got a bunch of rating boosts towards the end of the year. Their players did. And so it'll be really interesting to see what team is that. Like, here we got Florida State right now, right? Rolling Alabama. They play really good the next couple weeks.
Are you watching this? They found a sad Bama fan in the crowd, and ESPN had a camera on him, and he just flipped the bird to the camera.
To the camera? I just looked up, and they must have just went away from it.
That's pretty funny. You know,
I mean, straight up, that was fantastic.
That's hilarious.
You know, Tim, to answer your question, I think the people that see the boost are guys like me down there in the G5s, right, where you get new players that, I mean, Northern Illinois, for example, their leading rusher today in their game was a guy not even on the game. I mean, he rushes for, you know, 7 yards a carry. I'd like for him to be able to run for me because I have a hard time enough with that as it is. So I think that's really where you'll see the big – I don't know that the big jumps – I'm with you. I don't think they will downgrade guys off 1 week, obviously, but I think that you maybe see some guys – I mean, look at Florida State, for example. What is Castellanos – what is he kind of bumped to with the way he played today? I think he's a guy that could benefit from it.
They'll make guys impact guys. When I was at Utah last year, they upgraded Fano, the stud right tackle. He wasn't he didn't have a star under his name. And then they did a roster update and he gained like 4 points overall and had a star under him. So they'll definitely give some guys bumps for sure. As they should.
Yeah, sure. I agree with you. I mean, definitely with how the transfer portal works now is you have no idea how it's all going to shake out. So I can't imagine what it's like to rate people because, you know, guys that are fast, semi-fast, you know, that some of the agility for the veterans, but you have no idea who's going to play what, like Archie today, right? For preseason hype, we would have all thought he was going to have a decent game at least. And he came in and he looked so bad. Like the accuracy is the thing I had an issue with. The play calling was bad, but he can't control that. But there was lots of times where I felt like they had the right play called and he couldn't throw the ball short. And then obviously when he tried to push the ball down the field early, he really struggled. So
I just made the comment. I feel like they called plays like it was still Ewers at quarterback, truthfully. Like the things that Arch does well, I don't feel like they tried to do, which was move him around. They played so slow when they had tempo, especially at the end of the half and the end of the game. I thought it looked a lot better. So I don't know, man, but yeah, he didn't look right. My wife even was sitting there watching the game, and she's like, why in the world can he throw the football? I was like, that's a great question. I thought he was good. he's a good player. It was not a good day. And to all fairness, they're in Columbus playing the number 3 team in the country on the road, and they lose by a touchdown. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think I think watching that game was a classic case of how you kind of try to protect quarterbacks from both sides. They're trying to kind of protect. I mean, that's a pretty big stage. I saw a stat after the game that that's the first quarterback that started his first game against the number 1 ranked team and won since like 1972 or some crazy. And sometimes we forget that, right? You watch these elite teams and you think these quarterbacks are going to go in and just perform extremely well. And so I think that was just a case of they really tried to protect Manning from the mistakes, but what they did is they basically took him out of his element, which I thought was funny because did anyone watch the pregame speak with Sarkisian? He was like, man, what are you going to tell him? And he's, just let her rip, right? And that's not what happened. It was like,
Wingo and Moore, two of the fastest guys out there, right? I mean, they had this tight end, they bring him from Cal, and it was just like, what are we doing? And you know, in all fairness to Arch, he started 2 games last year, I think, and they were against Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. And so, I don't know, to be in that environment, I'm going to give him a pass. I didn't expect to win the game. I've been vocal about that. I thought Texas was going to lose regardless of how well or not well he played. But you don't have to worry about that game. You can go 11-1 now or 10-2, and you're going to be in the playoff and give yourself a shot to win. And he'll be better. Both those, Sain and Arch both will be better in week 10 and 11.
Well, so much better.
Yeah, week 1's always a horrible week for new quarterbacks to play. It's not, you know, you look at this Clemson-LSU game, and that's how some of these fair-weathered fans are going to compare the two quarterbacks we watched this morning. Little do they know, these fair-weathered fans should know this, but we're watching two of the most veteran quarterbacks in college football going at it tonight for teams that have lots of veterans on them. What is it, like Clemson returns the most starters? Or the most contributing percentage players in college football, like 84% or something like that I saw this morning, which obviously that's a big difference. And then you have LSU, who's went out and got, I think, the most transfer starters from Power Four teams. So it'll be pretty interesting. But I'm excited for the big game tonight. And obviously I got Washington State playing later tonight too, so I'm excited to watch them with their new coach. They got new coach and they have a ton of transfers. They'll have lots of freshmen playing and stuff. And so I'm excited to see obviously they're in the same boat with the new quarterback, not quite the hype as Archie Manning, but nevertheless.
Well, and we could go on, we could talk about games all day, but even Hawaii was fun to watch last week, right? And can they do it again against Arizona? I know that if you look at the numbers, Arizona has not fared well against Hawaii or Mountain West teams. So I don't know. There's a lot of games tonight, man. We could talk about those all day, I'm sure.
Yep. Exciting. Yeah, so we'll jump into the next part of our game day. This game day is going to be a little bit shorter than the rest, mainly because we got some college football that we want to watch tonight, but we didn't want to miss a Saturday for the NDL. And so we'll get to talking about some of the NDL online dynasty games here for the game of the week. We do have co-game of the week, Missouri State, Middle Tennessee, and Tennessee, Alabama. There was some talk that this Missouri State and Middle Tennessee game will be played tonight, as well as the possibility of our Oklahoma and Texas game getting played later. Make sure you use that schedule on the website so that we know when those games are going to pop up. And you never know, we might get a little room going with some of the games on tonight. And obviously, I can share some of the real games in a separate window, as well as the NDL games all at once. So, yeah, we'll get into these NDL pick'ems.
Yeah, so per usual, we're going to have some fun tidbits about some of these schools as well. Did it a little different on a few of the games. Did a couple things different because you're going to see some of these teams, you know, pop up in the games of the week multiple times. So I'm trying to get as creative as possible. However, our first game pits the Ohio State Buckeyes against the Illinois. They're the Illini, right? How embarrassing that I don't know this. They have maybe the ugliest uniforms in college football, but we'll get to that in a second. Let's start with Ohio State University. They have the sixth largest stadium in the country. Do you guys think you could name the other five really quick off the top of your head?
Michigan, A&M.
Penn State.
Yeah. Two more.
No,
not Texas.
Clemson? Did you say Clemson?
Nope, not Clemson. So LSU. So you got LSU, and then there's one more. Kyle Field was on there, by the way. You got that one.
Yeah.
What about, and you said Texas A&M.
Think of Penguins' favorite fight song.
Oh, Tennessee. Tennessee, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yep. So Ohio State is six with 102,000-seat stadium, also known as the Shoe. Ohio State's official school colors have been the same since 1878. Scarlet and gray were chosen by a group of three students in the lecture room of University Hall because it was a pleasing combination and had not been adopted yet by any other college. So there you go. That's why they're the scarlet and gray. Now, the tradition, you guys all know the iconic Ohio State helmet. It's got the Buckeye leaves on it. The tradition of placing the Buckeye leaves on the Ohio State helmet actually started in 1968 when Woody Hayes, longtime trainer Ernie Biggs, changed the look of the complete uniform. So they did a full overhaul. The new look included names on the back of the jerseys and a wide Buckeye stripe down the center of the helmet as well as the sleeves. And the stripe on the sleeves was the first of its kind in college football. Now, this is really cool. Players are awarded a gold charm replica of a pair of football pants following wins over the University of Michigan. That tradition started in 1934 when first-year coach Francis Schmidt told those wondering how OSU would fare with its nemesis from Ann Arbor. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else. Schmidt's Buckeyes went and defeated Michigan four consecutive times, and the tradition was born. This is kind of a fun little trivia. Ohio State has the third most Hall of Fame players with 10 from the NFL. Can you guys name two? Some of them I've never heard of.
Two players from Ohio State. Woody Hayes. I have no idea.
In the NFL Hall of Fame. Come on, guys. Two of them you should get. One was the number one overall pick in the NFL draft.
Eddie George?
No. Good guess.
Man.
This is actually surprisingly hard.
Orlando
Pace.
Yeah, the crowd says Orlando Pace. I didn't want to steal their thunder.
He was the first overall draft pick. And then how about a name you guys probably know him? All he does is catch touchdowns. Chris Carter.
Okay.
Yep. Dick LeBeau is one of them. A guy named Jim Parker, Ed Sable, Paul Warfield, Bill Willis, and Sid Gilman. Oh, and Lou Groza, who has a board name. So
those have all got to be super old players. Like, how is Eddie George not in the NFL Hall of Fame? Maybe that's just a childhood thing that I figured that he should be in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and then they have two other first overall picks. We obviously talked about Orlando Pace. The other one is a guy, he's a D tackle by the name of Dan Wilkinson. He was selected first overall by the Bengals. And then a gentleman by the name of Tom Cosino. Now, check this out. He was drafted by the Bills in 1979, but he never played a single play for them because he said, screw them, and went and played for the Montreal Alouettes. So
How did that work out for him?
He was the Grey Cup MVP. So he definitely won a Grey Cup, and then he ended his career in San Francisco. So he did end up playing in the NFL, just never for the Bills. Notable alumni of Ohio State, Jesse Owens. I didn't know this one. Bob Knight. Did you guys know that?
I didn't.
J.K. Simmons, the Farmers Insurance guy, the bald guy.
Yeah.
Vice President J.D. Vance. Hall of Fame and legendary golfer Jack Nicklaus. And this was my favorite. Goosebumps author R.L. Stine went to the University of Ohio State. Okay. Yeah, I love Goosebumps.
What about, I mean, you've got to tell the fans what like you're on your grading scale of women, who's the top woman alumni from Ohio State?
Oh, geez. nobody. All right. Now, Illinois Fun Facts. If you want to have a DEI show, go run your own show. Illinois Fun Facts. By the way, of all the teams that I've done research on, Illinois was the hardest to find anything interesting about, which is surprising because it is a big university. It's located in Champaign and Urbana, a total population of 207,000 people in East Central Illinois. It's 140 miles south of Chicago and 125 miles west of Indianapolis. The original name of the university was the Illinois Industrial University. In 1885, the Illinois Industrial University officially changed its name to the University of Illinois, reflecting its holistic agricultural, mechanical, and liberal arts curricula. That remained the official name for 50 years until it was changed to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in 1935. They play at Memorial Stadium. Now, I did not know this. Built in 1923. They still play in the stadium. It's obviously gotten a lot of updates to it. Now, this is a great little legend about the stadium. When it was being built, it would rain so much while they were building it, a bulldozer got physically stuck at the 50-yard line in the middle of the field. So they had to build the field over the bulldozer. And apparently that bulldozer is still underneath the stadium grass today.
Okay.
On September 22nd, 1985, Memorial Stadium hosted the first ever Farm Aid concert, which was run by Willie Nelson. I thought this was really cool. Farm Aid was organized by Willie Nelson, John Mellencamp, and Neil Young as well. The concert raised over $9 million for farmers and was a huge success, and Farm Aid still continues today. The last part about the stadium that was really interesting, on the east and west sides of the exterior of the stadium, there is columns, and all of them, the columns are not just for the aesthetics. 181 columns line the stadium's where people, oh my goodness, I'm dying here, I'm drowning. The foyer, sorry, each with the name of an Illinois student who passed away in World War I. Famous alumni, Roger Ebert, we all know Siskel and Ebert. Now, this legend, Hugh Hefner.
Okay.
I think we all know him. Gene Hackman, Nick Offerman, who was fantastic in Parks and Rec, Larry Ellison, who is the founder of Oracle, which, by the way, what is that company? I know that they make tons of money, but I've never known what they do, Oracle. Now, this was interesting, and I hope I pronounced this right. Jawed Karim and Steve Chen, the co-founders of YouTube, went to the University of Illinois. Shahid Khan, who is the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And finally, Jesse Jackson. And again, sorry, there were no notable women. Hate to hear it. Maybe that's why Hugh Hefner went into what he got into.
And left. And left Illinois.
As far as the game, you know, MJ Kemp really got in his feelings today in the live chat about not being ranked. Showed a little too much emotion for me. I think D. Canada is going to kick his ass by 3 or 4 touchdowns. I just feel like Ohio State's just going to be way too much. And D. Canada is probably, outside of Jiggy, the best, I think the second best team in the league right now. And I just think Ohio State overwhelms Illinois. So give me the Buckeyes.
Yeah, you know, a couple of fun facts I saw this week talking about Ohio State. Maybe you didn't pick up on this one, but how many days has it been since they beat Michigan? You want to guess?
Well, it's been like over 1,000, isn't it?
It's actually, I'm looking at online. Michigan has a website about this now. It's been 2,100 days. That seems like a long time. I don't think that's true, but maybe. But Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were able to start dating and get engaged since Ohio State last beat Michigan. Illinois only gives up 30 points a game, but they only scored 33. They've only turned it over twice. MJ Kemp does not turn the football over, okay? He does a great job. You mentioned Ohio State, though. They average 44 points a game, and defensively they're much better, only 21 points a game. I think the roster is just too good. Kemp's going to be 2-3, and people are going to never let him in the top 25 again, even though his three losses, if he were to lose, would be LSU, Texas, and Ohio State, arguably the three best teams in the league. I'm going to go Ohio State, but Kemp, don't worry about the haters, man. Don't worry about it.
And my two favorite people probably from Illinois is Dick Butkus, went to Illinois, and then Jeff George went to Illinois. But that's about all they'll have going for him. I think that James People will be the biggest difference in this game. He's second in the nation in touchdowns right now for Ohio State. There's so much talent on that side of the ball, and I think DeCandidy does a great job with spreading the ball around and not going to make a lot of mistakes to where MJ's just still kind of trying to figure his way out. But at some point, he's going to have to start pressing because he really can't afford another loss. With two losses already in the season, I mean, a third loss is probably for sure going to boot him out of that college football playoff talk. But I have Ohio State winning.
Yeah. Moving on to the next one, an ACC game that actually, you wouldn't think this would be a great matchup. Both teams with two losses, Florida State at 2-2. Sammy has that team there. Pittsburgh, 3-2. Devon Higgins, the coach there. My former Northern Illinois brethren, he led the way for him last year. He was 11-3 with the Huskies last year. I'm now 0-5, so he's going to be much better than me. He scores – Devon and Pittsburgh score 42 points a game. The problem there, guys, he also gives up 42 points a game. And so he's working on an even playing field there. It's not good. Now, Florida State and Sam – now, are they going to get the ratings boost before they play the game? If I'm Sammy, maybe I'm going to wait until maybe Thursday or Friday to play the game and see what happens. But I think that, you know – he doesn't score a lot, but he didn't give up many points. It's going to be two different styles here. Pittsburgh wants to go up and down and score a bunch of points. I'm going to take Pitt. I'm going to go with the Panthers in this one, although it would not shock me to see it go the other way.
Yeah, you've kind of hit on some of the things I was talking about. You know, I mean, Pitt has the fourth worst defense in the NDL this season. He's given up just as many points as he scored this season. I just don't think that's going to get done against, you know, Sammy. Sammy's averaging 19 points a game on the defensive side of the ball. He's scoring about 26 to where you've already hit it. 40-40, that's kind of a wash. I think he's going to have a hard time moving the ball. I think he's going to turn the ball over a lot. Now I'm talking about Pitt. And I think Florida State's really going to ride those turnovers, and I think they end up coming out with the victory here. At home, too. I think that's going to play a big factor, too.
So Devin is one of these sleeper coaches that I think offensively, when you watch him, is one of the top guys in the entire league. I mean, enough's been said about how bad the defense is. I'm interested to see him go into the Doak And I am also, you know, I made this pick before the FSU game today, and Jeremy makes a great point here. If FSU gets bumped, I would normally, I'm not going to change my pick for the show, but I did pick Pitt, but I am starting to think if FSU gets that bump and they play after it, I would definitely like to change my pick to the Noles at home at the Doak, but I'm going to stick with Pitt. That running back is a problem. He does a great job of getting him in the pass game and the run game. And I think hopefully he can do enough to not make me look stupid, because after watching FSU today, they definitely deserve a little hike up in the ratings department for sure. Jumping right into our next game now, the Red River Shootout. Now, here's the deal. Jiggy is probably going to be on the Game of the Weeks a few times, so we didn't do anything interesting about Texas per se. So I actually went and looked up just a few quick things about the Red River rivalry itself that I didn't know about. Okay, I've been watching this game since I was a kid. My dad kind of grew up liking Oklahoma because his dad went there. So we watched this game quite a bit, but I didn't know some of this stuff. So this, obviously, you hear about the Texas State Fair all the time when it comes to this game, but I didn't know that it's literally played in the fair. You have to enter the fair to get to the football stadium. I did not know this. I think that is super badass. And the Cotton Bowl, I didn't know this, is surrounded by livestock barns, fried food stands, and obviously all sorts of carnival barkers. And while the game is being played, the state fair just runs on. A ticket to the game also comes with a ticket to the state fair. And then they have met at the State Fair of Texas on the south side of Dallas every year since 1929. And the Cotton Bowl was completed and finished in 1930. Now, I guess the most popular item here at the State Fair, which, you know, everybody loves these at the fair, Fletcher's Corn Dogs. If you haven't had a Fletcher's Corny Dog, get there by 9 a.m. because they may sell out. This delicacy invented by Neil and Carl. Absolutely. Only in Texas. The delicacy invented by Neil and Carl Fletcher has been a State Fair of Texas staple since 1942. Their corny dogs, they demand you don't call them corn dogs, were originally sold for 15 cents. It's really cool. I wish more stadiums could do this because it just reminds me of coaching high school ball. The 50-yard line is the divider, and they completely separate the two fan bases. So it kind of has that high schoolish football type field. I really like that. They do their best to do that at the Rose Bowl if you go to the game every year to separate the two fan bases. They play for the golden 10-gallon cowboy hat that's awarded to the victors. Why do they call it a 10-gallon hat, by the way, Hubbard? I have no idea.
No idea, man.
It could fit 10 gallons of sweet tea in it. I don't know.
The OU Texas series history. Any idea who leads? Like, who has the better record in it? Do you guys know?
In the NDL or in here? In real life?
No, in real life.
Man, it's even.
And Hubbard, you said?
I said Texas. I'm not sure, honestly.
Texas is 12 games ahead. They have a 63-51-5 record. The Longhorns' longest streak was 8 from 1940 to 1947, and then the Sooners won 6 straight from 1952 to 1957. OU's 65-13 win in 2003 was the most lopsided game in the history of the series. Texas' largest margin of victory was 49-0 just 3 years ago. All-time, let's see here. Oh, and then there is one other time that they have played in a season, and that was in the 2018 Big 12. Title game. The Red River, because obviously it's known as the Red River Shootout. If you drive over the Red River on I-35, you'll actually be disappointed. Half the time the river doesn't have any water on it, if it hasn't rained. And when it does, it's generally brown or murky water. It serves as a natural border between Oklahoma and Texas. And then also Dallas is the halfway point between Norman and Austin. It's about 200 miles from both schools. And by the way, they just re-upped to continue to play one another all the way through 2036. So they're going to be playing for quite some time.
They're a lot closer together than I would have pictured, right? Because like whenever I think of Texas traveling out of state, I always, in my head, I'm picturing that they have to travel like 1,000 miles because Texas is so big.
I always thought it was way further away as well, Tim. That's why I like doing these things. I find myself learning a whole bunch of cool stuff when I do this. And so as far as my pick, right now, if I had to, you know, had a free $50 to bet on one person to win the league, it would be Jiggy. He does a really good job of using the team, their speed all over the field. Again, really good user on defense. I think if OU, that dude, if he was a little bit better offensively as a coach in this game, he would be one of those top tier guys. But unfortunately, he's much better on D than he is on offense. And I think Jiggy will just eventually outscore him, beating him over the top. But this is definitely a game I'm excited to see, because if you guys remember last year, Jiggy, I believe, threw 6 or 7 picks in one game against him. And I do love that they play at the neutral field and no one kind of uses the home field advantage. I tip my hat to both those guys for doing that. But give me the Longhorns by 2 touchdowns.
There's so much I want to say after your spiel here. You know, you mentioned a couple of things. Let me start with this. Why is it a 10-gallon hat? Well, my good friend AI, it actually comes from the Spanish word for braid, which is galón. Okay. Galón or galant both refer to the large decorated hats worn by Mexican vaqueros rather than a measure of capacity. So there's that. You mentioned the drive over the Red River. So I have 2 kids in Oklahoma now, and I've made that drive a few times in the last couple of years. In addition, you're going to love this, Pat. This is going to be the greatest thing ever for you. All that's there, there's not even a sign. There's nothing. It's just an old bridge that looks like crap. The Red River looks like crap. And there's an adult bookstore called The Mistress, literally right in the river bank. You're going to love this, man. It's the first time I drove through, I thought there's no way this is on I-35 here. You know, I've driven across the Mississippi and all these other places, and it looks amazing. And then there's this with the mistress sitting there. You mentioned the fair going on. Honestly, Pat, it's one of the coolest things, right? I think everybody should do it one time, but then it's also the worst thing, because you also, when you leave there, it's the walk, the concourse to walk around the fair is full of now however many people are in there watching the game. And it's literally shoulder to shoulder. It's awful. You mentioned the corny dogs, yeah, they're great. They only cost you like 47 tickets. Don't look at how much 47 tickets cost you. You'd be embarrassed you're paying $72 for a corny dog, right?
Couple things. How big is this corny dog? Like, is it like 10 feet?
It's a foot long, probably.
Expensive as corn dog.
Yeah, it's just $70 foot long wiener. That's exactly what I want when I go to a football game. Fried Frito pie the last time I was there was actually really good. Fried everything. They had fried butter one time. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, I bet fried Oreos are delicious.
No, fried Oreos are really good. Fried Twinkie. Anyway, we could go with that all day. But it's actually, do it one time, but it absolutely sucks. Don't go there after the first time. I'm with you, though. I think Jiggy's just too good. I mean, I like the Oklahoma user. I think the Oklahoma roster is good. Mateer, I'm not an OU fan, obviously, but Mateer in that offensive playbook is actually really good. There's some things you can do there. Which is kind of shocking that Oklahoma is not scoring, you know, but a little over 20 points a game. But Jiggy's just too good. I'm going to go with Texas.
I got a message from one of the fans, which kind of hit on what you were talking about, Hubbard, with the 10-gallon hat. And they did talk about how, obviously, they believe that it came down from Mexican vaqueros. Now, they say it's a 10-gallon, but that doesn't mean gallons like we think, a liquid. What that means is that it can fit 10 things, like 10 hats. They're talking about 10 hat bands inside of a sombrero. Oh. And so they said that obviously that trickled up into Texas, and they thought that it was like a 10-gallon cowboy hat could fit 10 gallons. And then Stetson ended up doing a commercial with a cowboy letting a horse drink out of its hat. And so they're thinking 10 gallons of water. But I can neither confirm nor say that 10 gallons does not fit in a cowboy hat, because I don't own one. So if you own a cowboy hat, see if 10 gallons of water will fit in the 10-gallon hat. Back to the game anyways. That was a good tidbit and a good talking point there, Pat. It's like we're on a date right now. And that was your talking point.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just think there's way to drop the knowledge, Tim. Yep, I love it. I think there's way too many weapons. You guys have already hit on some of the things. There's just a lot of weapons on the Texas side of the ball. Oklahoma's offense is better this year when it comes to players and ratings in the game. But man, we don't have a giant sample size from Coach the Dude and see how he's really playing with Oklahoma. And we've seen it from Texas right now. This is the best I've seen Jiggy play since he's been in the league, and the guy's won two championships already. I think right now we could say he's kind of cruising right now. I don't know that anyone's really going to slow him down, even in the SEC. I have Texas winning big here.
I agree. Now, back to some more fun tidbits about two Mountain West coaches that are jumping off here. Really excited. When I saw this game, you know, Wobbles is always making fun of how bad he is. However, undefeated in the Mountain West and a chance to maybe do some competing in there. And then what did old Beardcop do after we made him the game of the week? He went and lost two in a row. Thanks a lot. But that's okay. We're going to first talk about Fresno State University. Fresno State, they started playing football in 1921. After their first year, they joined the California Coast Conference before leaving to become one of the charter schools in Northern California's athletic conference in 1925. Now, during these early years, Fresno State acquired two rivals, San Diego State and San Jose State. Those rivalries have remained. And when they all left their conference in 1939, they started the University Division and College Division groups. These larger schools formed the California Collegiate Athletic Association. It remained in this conference for 30 years, during which Coach Cecil Coleman led the Bulldogs to five successful seasons, including an undefeated season in 1961. Bulldog Stadium, I've been to a game there one time. It's really cool. It is like smack dab in the middle of campus. It's a really cool looking facility. It is now known as Valley Children's Stadium. It was originally built in 1980 after they were playing in a 14,000 seat stadium. The university raised $7 million to build a 41,000 seat stadium. Let's see here. Now, this is what everyone has probably seen and what Fresno is really known for. You guys, I'm sure, have seen it. The green V on the helmet, right? Okay, the green V symbolizes Fresno's connection to and the pride of the San Joaquin Valley. Have either of you ever been to Fresno before?
No, never been to California.
It is an absolute shithole, Fresno is. Sorry for anyone that's there from there. It sucks. I've been there a bunch of times. The guy, it's funny, oddly enough, the guy whose townhome I took over here for on the lease went to Fresno State. That's why I've been there so many times. He played golf at Fresno State. So I have been there a ton of times. It is absolute stinker. But the color green for the V was selected to honor the importance of agriculture industry in the Central Valley, which is the world's richest agricultural area and export dollars in the world, you guys. More than 250 different crops are grown out there in the Central Valley with an estimated value of $17 billion, with a B, billion dollars a year. Approximately 75% of the irrigated land in California and 17% of the nation's irrigated land is in Central California. And then the predominant crops that they have out there are hay, cotton, tomatoes, vegetables, citrus, tree fruits, nuts, table grapes, and wine grapes. And as far as famous alumni, Fresno State, actor Edward James Olmos, basketball player Paul George, Aaron Judge on the New York Yankees, Marcus Garvey, Devontae Adams, and legendary college baseball coach, I didn't know this, Augie Garrido, went to Fresno State. Again, no women. By the way, I'm going to a site that I swear to God has men and women on it when I look these up.
We just have we're just picking some bad matchups on game day.
I guess so. Yeah, maybe in 20 years. Colorado State. Now, they play at what is known as Hughes Stadium, which has a capacity of 34,000 people. Are they? Now it is called Sonny Lubbock Field, though. He was their most successful coach. They renovated it for $15.2 million, and now they play in front of 41,000 people. Now, this is really cool. Colorado State used to be called the Aggies. That was their original mascot. So there's a prominent white A that's displayed above the stadium, and it's the oldest tradition within the school. The A stands for Aggies that we talked about. The A evolved after World War I. when a trend began among the colleges to display the insignia of their mascot on hills throughout the country. A group of military volunteers went up the hill and they spray painted the A, the first student class to do that.
And then as soon as they make the second right turn.
Following year, let's see here, on September 20th, students lengthened and now have widened the A up top to now it's this 450 feet in size. That is gigantic and 210 feet across. And much like we talked about with Nevada, how they have students go to the top every year to spray paint, to add a new coat of paint, freshman football players all climb to the top of the hill. It's like a tradition within the football program to go up and spray paint to put a new coat of paint on the A at the top. Now, this was interesting. Colorado State eventually, as we know, changed their mascot from the Aggies to the Rams. Their mascot is called Cam the Ram, but there's actually a reason he's called Cam. It's an acronym for Colorado Agriculture and Mechanical College, which was the college's original name. President Morgan officially named the mascot Cam the Ram during halftime of the basketball game against Wyoming in 1954. Famous alumni, Leslie Jones. She is the black lady on SNL that is super hysterical. If you've ever seen her on Black Jeopardy, she's fantastic. John Amos, who was in the show Roots. I didn't know this, and I should. Lane Kiffin is a graduate of Colorado State. And United States State Senator Cory Gardner. He was their state senator for 8 years. As far as my pick to win the game, I am going to go with Beer Cop here. I think he takes good care of the ball. I've played him a few times in scrimmages. He's just wildly improved, and I just feel like Wobbles is a little hard on himself, and he'll get a touch emotional in the game if he makes his first mistake. And I think Beer Cop will stay steady Eddie and beat him by 4 points. So give me the Rams.
Well, the thing I learned the most in that whole deal there is that Pat's going to dudes only websites. I don't know. That's confusing. No, hey, listen, honestly, as one of the new guys in the league, two of the guys I have really enjoyed either scrimmaging or talking to are Wobbles and Beer Cop. Like, truthfully, two dudes I've enjoyed, playing against a few times. You know, Pat mentioned the fact that Beer Cop takes care of the football. You know, Fresno, Wobbles only has one more turnover on the year than Beer Cop does. So Wobbles actually has been taking care of the football. The one concern I have is, and makes me rethink my pick a little bit, is the scoring margin for Fresno. He's negative 16 points a game, and he's 1-3. But we're going to ride that one win, right? I actually picked Wobbles in this game because how can you not pick the guy? If you're in the chat for any length of time, the guy's just amazing in the chat. Love Beer Cop, and either one winning, I'm going to be happy with. I'm glad to see him in the game of the week. Honestly, I think it's pretty cool that we're getting these two on here. But I'm going to go with Fresno. And the other fun fact, when David Carr and the Bulldogs – we're having that little run in 2001. It's really the first time I remember playing NCAA football 2002 in dynasty mode to play with Fresno to see if we could recreate it. That was one of the first things I remember. But we're going to go with the Bulldogs today in this one.
Pat, you obviously are a California guy. Do you know where West Hills College is?
I don't.
And where's Coalinga, California?
I have no idea.
I heard it's a shithole. So one of my best friends went to, it's a community college. So the way college baseball there in California works, you'd know this, is the community colleges in California, there's a league that has elite community colleges that play in it, and they're just as good as most D1 colleges. And they play in their own league. It's like self-affiliated and stuff. And he ended up getting drafted, but he's getting elected into their Hall of Fame this next summer. And he told me it's like the biggest shithole ever in California, like where this college is
never
at.
Never heard of it.
And so I didn't know if you maybe knew where it was. It says they're in the Central Valley Conference, and it's just in Coalinga, California. I don't know where it's at, but I'm going there next year because I told them I'd come down and watch them get elected. But
it's going to be the first time in California is to go to that place?
Yeah, well, I went to Reno. And we did the whole like stand on the border, but that doesn't really count, right? I've never actually been to California. So suppose there's some casinos too. And stuff like 30 minutes away. Yeah. And we went during when COVID happened, we went there for my bachelor party and it was like the whole town was basically shut down. So, but we went up to Tahoe, which was a lot of fun. We went up to Tahoe when
that was awesome.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun there. Yeah, my pick here, I've obviously had the luck of playing both of these teams in the last couple of years. I just got done playing Colorado State. I've scrimmaged him a bunch. And man, he's an up and down player. When he runs the ball, he can be very effective. Bierkop, when he runs the ball, the problem is when he gets into passing the ball, he pushes the ball down the field and he does throw a lot of interceptions. I think that after our game, he mentioned that he was going to start running the ball a little bit more with Jalen Dupree. He's averaging 6.61 yards a carry. I just think if he really follows through with that, he's got a ton of yards after contact with him. If he really follows through with that, I think that he could run away with this game, but I think it's going to end up being a really close game. I have Colorado winning, but I think it's a toss up. This game will be a really good game against two really, really quality coaches in the NDL.
All right, moving along. Co-game of the week. This is an exciting one because boys, the draft and my name will go down forever in infamy, I believe. But only six teams picked after I did. And I'm looking at three of those teams, two of them in the MAC as well. Eastern Michigan has done really well this year. Akron has done really well this year. And Missouri State, a team that I had told a couple of guys, man, I really want to get Missouri State. They fell to me. I just wanted to be the first guy to do it right. But instead, Jose gets them. He has to pick between three teams. Jose picked Missouri State. And now he's sitting here 5-0. And he made me look like a genius last week because I picked him to beat Missouri, and he did. And did it convincingly in the first half before the disconnect and then had to hold on and win. But you can't recreate all that or whatever. On the flip side, Weasel picked about 10 spots ahead of me and took Middle Tennessee. And Weasel, who you love him or hate him in the chat, but I got to listen to him. I got to listen to him on PTD a couple of days ago. And I was telling Tim this, I really enjoyed listening to Weasel on PTD. I thought that it kind of gave some insight to him. He's a New Yorker, right? I mean, that's just maybe his personality kind of rubs you the wrong way, maybe. But both of these guys, man, with a scoring margins of over 22 points a game, this is a great one for the new guys. And honestly, they both, when they get good teams, like you could see both of them making, you know, runs in the future. I know Pat was really high on Middle Tennessee on offense for sure. And the funny thing is for bad teams, a lot of times with bad teams, you get a lot of turnovers. Missouri State has only turned it over twice this year. Middle Tennessee has only turned it over once. And so they both protect the football. They both score a lot of points. They both can stop you on defense. I'm going to have to ride with the Bears again because they made me look so smart next week. But I really think this is going to be a really good game with two coaches who, if they stick it out in the NDL for a long time, we'll win some championships.
Yeah, there's only two quarterbacks in the NDL right now in the nation that have over 100 completions and have only thrown one interception, and one of them is Jacob Clark. Okay, that's a starting quarterback for Missouri State. I think this is going to be a good, big offensive game. I think it's going to really come down to which coach is really going to press the envelope early to score. Because then you're going to put the opposing coach kind of in the hole trying to catch up the whole game. And then there's going to be a costly turnover. Right now, Missouri State's right up there and forcing turnovers and not turning the ball over. Their plus minus is absolutely absurd. I mean, they're the top team in the league when it comes to takeaways and not giving the ball away right now in the NDL. And I think that's going to be the biggest difference in the game is that Jose and Missouri State are going to come ahead and get ahead, and they're going to force Middle Tennessee into a couple turnovers late in the game. I'm excited. I hope they play tonight because it would be a good old nightcap for real college football to be able to watch these two coaches go at it.
Yeah, both just really sound with the turnovers. You guys nailed it. I went with Middle Tennessee. A little biased there because I did have them in our first season back. That's really why I picked them. I think these guys are as even as possible. These are two coaches that I've watched that when they do have good teams will be every bit as good as anyone else in here. They both don't really run. We talked about it before the show, before we went live. They don't really run plays where they go backwards. They're constantly going forward, not afraid to check down when they see a lot of zone. And then MTSU, from what I watched, is a little more aggressive on defense than Missouri State. So I think that'll be the difference. And give me Middle Tennessee stay on like a last drive winner. Plus, after I heard Weasel talk, I totally had him pictured in my mind. He's definitely like Spider from Goodfellas. That's exactly who I thought he would be. and that's exactly who he was. So, you know, I've got a little soft spot for Spider, the character in Goodfellas. I thought Joe Pesci was really too hard on him. He killed the guy just for making a joke. So, yeah, give me the Weasel by 3 points in the co-game of the week. I am excited to watch these two guys play because I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with for seasons to come. It's always interesting when you roll right into the next game and it's you that has to introduce it. So our other co-game of the week, which I have been looking forward to this since I saw when Smitty drafted Bama. Look, for anyone that's listening to the show or going to listen to the show, these two guys do not like each other. It's fantastic. Literally blocked on Discord. Can't communicate via DMs. That's how much there's no love lost there. I personally love when two guys don't like each other and they get to play. Look, not everyone gets along, and that's okay. But when both are good at the game, it to me, it's entertaining since we're in a league that brings entertainment. So I think it's really cool that they're playing. Now, I did not do fun facts about Tennessee or about Alabama. No, I went straight to the source. I'm going to share with you guys fun facts about Vegas and Smitty themselves.
Okay? Yes.
So, for starters, we're going to start with Vegas. His favorite movie, everybody. I thought this was a pretty surprising pick. And if you've ever seen it, it's actually kind of a good movie. The Butterfly Effect. Have you guys ever seen The Butterfly Effect?
Yeah.
That's a good
one.
That's a terrible movie.
It definitely has a few jump scare parts in the movie that really catches you off guard. Like when the mailbox blows up and like totally blows the kid away. And now for those of you that maybe don't know Vegas, he is a New York Giants, New York Yankees, and Tennessee Volunteer fan. Go figure. So his favorite New York Yankee of all time is Jorge Posada. His favorite Tennessee Volunteer of all time, and this is a great name, Jamal Lewis, former running back for the Baltimore Ravens, and I believe a 2,000-yard rusher in the NFL. And then last but not least, Jeremy Shockey for the Giants. I felt like he was such a stud in the NFL, and then just one day he wasn't in the league anymore. I don't know.
He bounced around to a couple different teams towards the end because I remember him because of his tattoos. His tattoos, right?
Yeah. I asked him what his favorite NDL memory of all time is. He responded with, by beating Smitty's ass twice when it mattered. I asked him who his favorite person was to play in the league. He said, Chase is my favorite. That is the Virginia Tech owner. Big Mike is a close second because he plays me so tough. And then I asked him who his least favorite was to play. He said, quote unquote, I hate Jiggy. Fuck that guy. He's my dad. I asked him how he heard about the NDL. He said he knew of the NDL back in the NCAA 04 days. What Vegas does for a living. He is the Prepa pizza owner. I don't know if you guys know this. It's really cool. He has like a pizza mail delivery service where you actually make the pizza at home. Tim, haven't you ordered one before or someone has?
No, a couple of the guys in the league ordered it and said they really liked it. They said the crust was delicious.
Yeah. And then he runs and helps open restaurants for MP for Bubba's 33. He's opening a new store in Murfreesboro, which oddly enough is where the Middle Tennessee State University is located. I asked him what other games he enjoys playing besides NCAA. He said Madden and MLB are tied at the top. His favorite place to vacation is Italy. He's been to Rome, Venice, and Naples. And then I asked him, what rule would you get rid of in the NDL and what rule would you add? He would like to take out the stunt rule. He thinks that it was taken away way too fast. And it was an overreaction. And then he also put no formation flipping. Shit is lame. Do you guys know what that means?
I have no idea what that means.
Neither do I.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like when you formation flip, is he talking about when you come out and you don't call a play audible? You just flip the play to the other side?
That's my guess.
But man, how many times like this happens to me all the time? I'm selecting plays and I don't remember on what hash I'm on. So I select the play and I come out and I got
all the time.
I want to run to the short side of the field and I'm on the wide side. So I just flip the play. But I mean,
yep.
Yeah. What about when you're trying to run, hurry up and you hit the wrong button? It happens all the time.
Yep.
Right?
Or you end up on the opposite hash from hurry up. And now let's say you're in quads, right? You got quads into the damn boundary. So
and you don't want to do
that.
I'm assuming
that's what he means. And then last but not least, he just wants everyone to know he's age 43. He was born in Long Beach. What up, California? He grew up in New York, though, and then he also has lived in Jersey, Atlanta, Vegas, and Los Angeles. He's currently on the road in Michigan for training, but he's heading to Indiana next week, where he's going to open Murfreesboro store in Tennessee. He played 2 years of college baseball at Columbus State University, but got hurt, lost scholarship after second surgery, and he said, fuck this, I don't need to graduate, waste of money, were his words. So that is Coach Vegas. Now, Smitty, you knew these were going to be some good
answers.
These
are going to be good. These are going to be good ones.
If anyone has ever dealt with Smitty in the NDL, you are never going to get a straight answer that makes sense. So I asked him the same exact questions. First, I asked him what his favorite movie was. Too many to pick, but I'm going to go with Lonesome Dove is Smitty's favorite movie. I've never seen it.
Lonesome Dove? I have, but I would not peg that as a... I mean, this guy drinks Diet Pepsi and doesn't drink beer, so I guess I could see that, but...
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, my computer just informed me it's restarting in 3 minutes, so I need to hustle.
Hurry.
His favorite Tennessee Volunteer is Al Wilson. And then also one of his favorite college players of all time is Manti Te'o. Very random. He also really liked watching Steven Jackson play at Oregon State. And then Honey Badger was a favorite of his as well. Thanks for randomly throwing other players out there to me, Smitty. I asked him, who do you like to play the most and who do you like to play the least? And in Smitty former fashion, he responded with, I don't enjoy playing anybody. I'm too competitive. I am way too competitive to even enjoy the game. Also, my least favorite person to play is the same answer as above. I don't enjoy playing anybody. Okay. Smitty was told about the NDL by Nub, who is a legendary former NDL owner. Guy used to be really good at the game. And by the way, Jeremy, because you aren't here, he plays, he has one arm. He only has one arm. This guy, Nub. Great name, by the way, Nub. Yeah. When I asked Vegas what he does for a living, his response, I work at our high school as basically our secretary. His other favorite video game to play is 2K. I asked him where his favorite place to go was. He goes, I'm not a traveler. Okay.
Yeah, right. He was on Game Day show and he literally traveled across the entire city during that 1 hour block of the show.
Yeah, he says, I guess I'd say PCB. I don't know what that means. Where we have
Panama City Beach.
Oh, okay. Where we have family owned condo. I asked him about the rules that he would like to add or take out. Rules to add would be zero RPOs being run because it's unrealistic. I know it's part of the game, but the defense for them on this game is comical. One rule I wish we would get rid of is the playmaker rule. It's no different to me than the switch stick. This kind of talk is for people that are way better than me. I don't know what the switch stick is. He's 37 years old, lives in Kingston Springs, Tennessee. I asked him, where did you go to college? He responded with, I graduated from the fucking school of hard knocks. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am definitely picking Smitty in this game. I like Vegas a lot. He's great for our league. He engages in the chat a lot. But he is an absolute mental midget. And I mean that in the nicest way. He is going to throw one pick or Smitty's going to run something that he doesn't like. And he's going to go into full meltdown mode. I cannot wait to see the live chat during this game. There is a 0% chance that doesn't go off during this, but give me Alabama to win by a touchdown.
So you guys know what they call the Georgia Tech rivalry, right?
Like
the old-fashioned hate. This is the opposite of that. This is unclean, good old-fashioned hate that I'm actually curious to see more about, because we were talking about this in the chat this week. Of course, the new guy here, I don't know this history. And I was like, okay, what happened? And it's just, they just hate each other. I don't even, like, who cares, right? So that makes it more fun. The other thing is this. I hate to judge a book by its cover. I just think that's wrong to do. But when I saw Smitty for the first time on game day, I thought, there's no way this guy can be good at a video game, right? Like, he doesn't have the look. And for you to say that he loves playing 2K also, like, there's no way that Smitty plays 2K. But listen, he gave me the nicest ass beating I've ever taken in this league. He was just destroying me, and he was like, hey, man, sorry, you're doing great. And I was like, yeah, that's because I'm giving you the football every other play. Like, of course I'm doing great in your mind. No, listen, I think that Alabama, I have them, like I said, in the top four. I think they're one of the Final Four teams. Smitty does not turn the ball over, just two turnovers in his six games. And I'm with you. I think that Smitty, I don't want to say he's we can talk about the mental side of this game all the time. I just think he's more consistent. I'm not going to say mentally whatever, but Vegas stable. I mean,
mental midget.
Yeah, I'm talking about the DEI thing. There's all kind of things going on here. We're talking about midgets and everything else. But I'm going to go with Alabama too. I think that Smitty's just too good with that roster. And you know, Tennessee's a good team. We talked about. I think they're a top 10 team, but I think Alabama is one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, this should be a pretty good game. I think it'll be close until the late third, fourth quarter. The way that normally when I watch Vegas playing these big games, definitely ones where he loses, what happens is he plays really conservative. He's one of the smartest guys I know in this video game. Vegas, every year, he knows all the pre-snap things you can do. He knows all the buttons you can push, can't push. He's really smart with depth charts where you can slide players so that you can do, like, I don't even know how to fully do it, but you know how you do those pre-snap adjustments where you can move slot corners and right defensive end into certain spots with just that, like, the swipe of the joy. He knows all that weird crap. Sometimes I think he does too much of it, though, instead of just letting his athletes play, going out there and playing. Sometimes he's super conservative. Watched it last year in a game where you thought at some point he needed to start pushing the ball because the clock was running up against him. And I'm with you, Pat. I think something's going to happen that's going to send him into tilt. I'm not sure that these guys are going to talk in the live chat much. I promise you there's going to be a bunch of DMs blowing up the whole time. Smitty's going to be in some DM the whole game typing about how bad he hates playing Vegas, and this is why he hates playing him. That's going to be a given. I wish these games could be broadcasted on camera. I wish we could listen to them. I live look in, and maybe we'll try to get Smitty to do that for us because I think it would be hilarious. We tried to get him to play tonight. They wouldn't. Short story here, Deontay Lawson. He's the linebacker. Smitty's really good user, player on defense. I think that he's going to end up making a really big play in the second half that's going to tilt the game. And then I think you're going to see Coach Vegas go on tilt, and I think Alabama pulls away in the fourth quarter and wins by three scores.
Phony has the best point in chat. Good thing they dropped your lowest coach report, because these two coach reports are not going to be good.
They probably just leave them out. Like, just
yeah. I mean, you have to do it right, but I mean, like, it's just whatever.
This will be exciting. I'm excited for those games. I'm not sure if, I mean, last I heard is that Texas and OU were going to play tonight. And then I know Weasel said on PTD that their plan was going to be to play later tonight after he got back home from some parties or something like that. And so just look out for some NDL games tonight. Right now that LSU some game
parties.
LSU's just kicked off. And so we're excited. I don't have anything else. What about you guys?
Anyone, I did it for the first time today. You have got to watch Chip stream when he plays a game. It is the most entertaining thing this league has to offer going right now. He calls every player on Central Michigan by their first name, not by their last name, not by anyone. Like, he's their neighbor. He has a chant for every player. He had a guy named Jeremy earlier get a sack, and he had a special nickname for him. And he sang and rapped the song at the end of his victory. This is someone's future primary care physician. You have to keep that in mind. I would trust my life with a primary care physician that played and announced their games in the NDL. So I 10 out of 10 recommend it. I had heard about it before, but today was, it was entertaining as hell to listen to him while he played.
And I play for Chip sure. in a couple weeks in the NDL, and I should try to get him to stream. You know how you can do like we're doing right now, how you can joint stream a game. I should try to get us to joint stream together, because then it would just be fun to listen to him talk to his players and stuff.
Speaking of Chip, I kind of pooped on him a little bit, saying that he was going to get beat by Akron this week potentially, and it was a prove it game for Akron against Chip, and Chip takes the win. Chip's not putting up with that crap.
Oh, and he brings it up. Don't you worry. If you watch his stream, at the very end, he was like, and I'd like to just thank all my haters out there. And then, but he did thank Tim and Penguin for picking him. He literally thanked both of you guys.
So what's interesting all about right. Chip is that I'm sure he's probably in a busy part of his school right now. Because normally in the chat, he's really active in the chat, and I haven't seen him in the chat over probably the last 2 or 3 months, but I know he listens to stuff. I know he listens to the content. And so it's really interesting to see, like, has he played the game much, or are these his first get? Cause he's a really good player. But when you like watch that Wake Forest game, it looked like a child was like a 4-year-old child was playing defense for him. Cause it was so, that was not characteristic of him. It's so bad. And so it'll be interesting to see if he turns it around and ends up really messing up some of those MAC teams that think they have a shot at the college football playoff. It'll be really interesting to see how that kind of shakes out.
NC State, Notre Dame going live right now. That's going to be a good game.
Nice. I will say this about Chip. He is active in the MAC chat a little bit, but I appreciate the fact he's very supportive of all of us. I guess it's because he knows he could beat every one of us. So it's like, hey, man, you're doing great, but wait till we play. I'm fortunate I don't play Chip this year. I'm very happy about that. But no, Chip's a great guy. I've enjoyed getting to visit with him as well.
Yeah, well, I don't have anything else, guys. Enjoy some college football tonight. And thanks for tuning in to Game Day Saturday night. I actually really enjoy doing the evening ones because then kind of some of the college football and stuff's been played out for the day. But it always stinks because there's always a big time matchup Saturday night. So we kind of run into the beginning of it. But
hey, this show made me not drink today, so I am very thankful for it.
Hey, we're here for you, Pat. We'll keep you sober for the evening.
Yes, and of course we got some drop-in from You Know Who tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Always around the old Velcro dog.
The Velcro dog.
All right, boys. Well, let's enjoy this Clemson game. It looks like there's been some action.
Yep. Yeah, go Tigers, and then go Cougars.
And USC just handling one of the toughest teams in the country, Missouri State, right now, 14-3. Just really putting it to them. Love to
Jose's
see
not coaching that team.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Well, I really appreciate it, guys. Have a good night. Have a good weekend. Hey, enjoy your 3-day weekend, everybody. Check the game day will be posted on the Spotify. Go ahead and give it a like and a follow. Talk to you guys later.
Hey.
See you guys. And I'm sure.